good evening, everyone.
Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, we'll be beginning our reading in chapter 9, but if you want to go ahead, I'm going to give some brief thoughts beginning in chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Again, we find ourselves at the end of another month. It's really hard to believe, especially with being out of town a little bit. It doesn't seem like there even was a month of February, but here we are, and we have this opportunity to spend this time reading from the Scriptures, and it is such an honor and blessing as Jimmy prayed to God. And each time that we have to be together, to encourage one another, and this opportunity we have to simply read from the Scriptures. As the song that we just sang, Praise the Lord, to me that is a theme of what we're going to be reading tonight. The book of Isaiah, there's so many contrasts to it. You see destruction and foretelling of destruction, but you also see God and His power and that He prevails in all things. And that goes right along with a lot of things. It goes right along with the world that we live in right now. And we wonder if all the things going on around us, and is there going to be a time when this nation perhaps is going to go under? I don't know that that's going to be the case, but it's something that we think about, and we think about the values in our country and what they look like. And then we look at books like Isaiah and the prophecy of talking about the things that happen to those that are disobedient and the prophecies not only of destruction, but of the coming king. And of course, that goes right along with our theme this month of talking about appreciating the king, appreciating our Lord, appreciating all that's been done, and making sure that we live accordingly. Isaiah chapter 6, just to kind of give us a little bit of background before leading into chapter 9, just to set up what we're reading together tonight so it makes a little bit more sense. Just beginning there in chapter 6, timeline-wise, we're looking at the time of the king of Judah, King Uzziah, and his death. And of course, chapter 6 gives us a peek there of Isaiah's prophecy, him seeing the angels and the angels interacting with him. And then the opportunity where God speaks and literally says, who will go for us there in verse 8? And Isaiah stands up and says, here am I, send me. And Isaiah is going to be the one that's going to take this prophecy of the judgment to Israel. Moving forward, just again to remind us of where we're going tonight, there in chapter 7, it is prophesied. What he is taking to them is that there's going to be destruction. First, there is a warning here of a destruction of Jerusalem. This is not going to be fulfilled at this time. This is simply a warning to the king of Ahaz, who is the grandson of Uzziah. And he's saying there's going to be an alliance against you, and they're going to try to come against Jerusalem. But at least at this time, God will not allow these things to happen. Further into chapter 7, a couple other things to note for our remembrance tonight. Now, this is the chapter where it all begins of talking about the king. This is the prophecy there beginning in about verse 10, verse 11, where Isaiah talks about the birth from a virgin, of course, talking about Jesus, and then continues in verse 17, talking about Judah and the desolation that is to come. And then it gets pretty bleak there beginning in chapter 8, when he begins to describe Judah, describe their non-ability to repent and their arrogance that they have about him and their rejection of God and his word, and begins to talk about the Assyrian invasion. And that kind of just gives us a little peek into setting up what we're going to read tonight. So it makes a little bit more sense. So we understand he's begun to talk about the king and the virgin birth, and then he's begun to warn them of the things that are to come. And then we'll pick up tonight, and our focus is going to be in chapters 9 through 12. And of course, this is going to be giving both sides. Isaiah is going to begin talking about the king that is to come, coming Jesus, the Messiah. And then he's also going to warn them of the results of those in the modern time, in his time, those that are disobedient to God at that time. So we'll pick up, and I'm going to take a look at our time at the end of our reading in chapters 9 through 12. And if we have the moment, I'd like to go into Ephesians chapter 2 and make a few connections as we offer an invitation tonight. But we'll take a look at that as time goes. Would you begin reading with me there? I'm reading from the New American Standard in Isaiah chapter 9. There will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea and on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They shall be glad in your presence, as with gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor as the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in a battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. The Lord sends a message against Jacob, and it falls on Israel. And all the people know it, that is, Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, asserting in pride and in arrogance of heart. The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with smooth stones. The sycamores have been cut down, but we will replace them with cedars. Therefore, the Lord raises against them adversaries from Rezin and spurs their enemies on. There are Arameans on the east side and Philistines on the west. They devour Israel with gaping jaws. In spite of all this, his anger does not turn away, and his hand is still stretched out. Yet the people do not turn back to him who struck them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. So the Lord cuts off head and tail from Israel, both palm branch and bulrush, in a single day. The head is the elder and the honorable man. The prophet who teaches falsehood is the tail. For those who guide this people are leading them astray, and those who are guided by them are brought to confusion. Therefore, the Lord does not take pleasure in their young men, nor does he have pity on their orphans or their widows. For every one of them is godless and an evil doer. Every mouth is speaking foolishness. In spite of all this, his anger does not turn away, and his hand is still stretched out. For wickedness burns like a fire. It consumes briars and thorns. It even sets the thickets of the forest aflame, and they roll upward in a column of smoke. By the fury of the Lord of hosts, the land is burned up. The people are like fuel for the fire. No man spares his brother. They slice off what is on the right hand, but still are hungry. They eat what is on the left hand, but they are not satisfied. Each of them eats the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh devours Ephraim, Ephraim Manasseh, and together they are against Judah. In spite of all this, his anger does not turn away. His hand is still stretched out. Woe to those who enact evil statutes and to those who constantly record unjust decisions, so as to deprive the needy of justice and rob the poor of my people of their rights, so that the widows may be their spoil and that they may plunder the orphans. Now what will you do in the day of punishment and in the devastation which will come from afar? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your wealth? Nothing remains but to crouch among the captives or fall among the slain. In spite of all of this, his anger does not turn away. His hand is still stretched out. Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger, and the staff in whose hands is my indignation. I sent it against a godless nation and commissioned it against the people of my fury to capture booty and to seize plunder and to trample them down like mud in the streets. Yet it does not so intend, nor does it plan so in its heart. but rather it is its purpose to destroy and to cut off many nations. For it says, are not my princes all kings? Is not Calno like Carchemish, or Hamath like Arpad, or Samaria like Damascus? As my hand has reached to the kingdoms of the idols, whose graven images were greater than those of Jerusalem and Samaria, shall I not do to Jerusalem and her images just as I have done to Samaria and her idols? So it will be that when the Lord has completed all his work on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, he will say, I will punish the fruit of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria and the pomp of his haughtiness. For he has said, by the power of my hand and by my wisdom I did this. For I have understanding, for I removed the boundaries of the people and plundered their treasures, and like a mighty man I brought down their inhabitants. My hand reached to the riches of the people like a nest. And as one gathers abandoned eggs, I gathered all the earth. There was not one that flapped its wing or opened its beak or chirped. Is the axe to boast of itself over the one who chops with it? Is the saw to exalt itself over the one who wields it? That would be like a club wielding those who lift it, or like a rod lifting him who is not wood. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, will send a wasting disease among the stout warriors. And under his glory, a fire will be kindled like a burning flame. The light of Israel will become a fire and his Holy One a flame. It will burn and devour his thorns and his briars in a single day. He will destroy the glory of his forest and of his fruitful garden, both soul and body, and will be as when a sick man wastes away, and the rest of the trees of his forest will be so small in number that a child could write them down. Now in that day, the remnant of Israel and those of the house of Jacob who have escaped will never again rely on the one who struck them, but will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. A remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. For though your people, O Israel, may be like the sand of the sea, only a remnant within them will return. A destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness. For a complete destruction, one that is decreed, the Lord God of hosts will execute in the midst of the whole land. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, O my people who dwell in Zion, do not fear the Assyrian who strikes you with the rod and lifts up his staff against you, the way Egypt did. For in a very little while, my indignation against you will be spent, and my anger will be directed to their destruction. The Lord of hosts will arouse a scourge against him, like the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. And his staff will be over the sea, and he will lift it up the way he did in Egypt. So it will be in that day that his burden will be removed from your shoulders, and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be broken because of fatness. He has come against Aath. He has passed through Migron. At Michmash he deposited his baggage. They have gone through the pass, saying, Geba will be our lodging place. Ramah is terrified, and Gibeah of Saul has fled away. Cry aloud with your voice, O daughter of Gileam. Pay attention, Lisha, and wretched Anathoth. Madmenah has fled. The inhabitants of Gibeah have sought refuge. Yet today he will halt at Nob. He shakes his fist at the mountain of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. Behold, the Lord, the God of hosts, will lop off its boughs with a terrible crash. Those also who are tall in stature will be cut down, and those who are lofty will be abased. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with an iron axe, and Lebanon will fall by the mighty one. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from its roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor, and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt around his about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. The wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Then in that day, the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the peoples, and his resting place will be glorious. Then it will happen on that day that the Lord will again recover the second time with his hand the remnant of his people who will remain from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. He will lift up a standard for the nations and assemble the banished ones of Israel, and will gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Then the jealousy of Ephraim will depart, and those who harass Judah will be cut off. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah, and Judah will not harass Ephraim. They will swoop down on the slopes of the Philistines on the west. Together they will plunder the sons of the east. They will possess Edom and Moab, and the sons of Ammon will be subject to them. The Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt, and he will wave his right hand over the river with his scorching wind, and he will strike it into the seven streams and make men walk over dry shod. There will be a highway from Assyria for the remnant of his people who will be left, just as there were for Israel, was for Israel in the day that they came up out of the land of Egypt. Then you will say on that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. And in that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Make them remember that his name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Typically, when we read through the scriptures, we limit some of the comments that we make. But for, I think, obvious reasons, for the things that we've just read, I'd like to add just a few comments before we are able to read Ephesians chapter 2. A lot of people say a lot of things about the scriptures that we have just read, and a lot of things are not true. One of those being in chapter 11, verses 6 through 10 or 11, talks about all of these animals dwelling with one another, and these that would be natural predators to one another, that they would lie in peace together. And a lot of these take this and will teach this to some premillennial doctrine. And that is not at all what it's talking about for a day and talking about when animals are actually going to be together and not attacking one another. We should understand that the big theme of what we have read tonight is talking about our King. And there is a day where those will be punished, and we will be punished if we are not obedient. But there will be a day, it says over and over, that day when our King will be in this. These verses in chapter 11 speaks to the peace that you and I can have by being children of God. Not talking about animals, but the day when Jesus comes and fulfills all of these things. And of course, it concludes there in chapter 12, very much like when Moses comes out of Egypt. And Moses sings a song of praise to God, of thankfulness, and that he is the one that should be exalted. He is the one that gave them their freedom. If you notice the words that we read, it very much speaks to that same thought about how those that are disobedient and unrepentant, they will say that they're the ones that have provided for them. And the enemies of the Israelites, they will say they're the ones that defeated Israel. And they did this and they did that. Obviously, God is saying those who do not submit and humble themselves to recognize that I am the one that is sending Jesse's offspring there in chapter 11. You need to understand that is who provides salvation. And then the song, of course, the hymn of praise there in chapter 12 of all that has been given to us through this seed, this offspring of Jesse. I want to conclude our reading tonight by reading through just in the same way without any commentary, just reading Ephesians chapter 2. I think it goes so well to bring the scriptures that we've just read from Isaiah and the prophesying of the King that is coming to save the world and to again gather the physical remnant and then also the spiritual remnant for us today. So I just want to read Ephesians chapter 2, and I want you to think about as New Testament Christians, the parallels that we have here and all that we've been given because of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you, who formerly were afar off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in His flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in Himself He might make the two into one man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by having put to death the enmity. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together in a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2 sums up our lives as Christians, does it not? At one point in life, we were afar off, separated from Jesus Christ. Brethren, what we really deserve is that destruction that we read about in Isaiah. We deserve the same end that they received in Jerusalem, and they received in the northern kingdom, in the southern kingdom. That's what we deserve. But as prophesied in Isaiah, there's coming a day where Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, through Jesse, will come and offer peace to you. And where it'll no longer be about a remnant that's scattered out over a land, but there'll be a day that God will bring you back in, and He will hold you with His arms. And that's what we have to appreciate through Christ Jesus, our King and our Lord. As we think on the things that we've read from the prophecies of old and think about our New Testament lives in Ephesians chapter 2, I hope that will push us this week to give some thought to that and give some appreciation to who we serve. And when we appreciate that, then we'll make better decisions out of our love and appreciation for Jesus our King. If you have not yet put on Christ, you are still, as it said in Ephesians chapter 2, without hope. You're on that other part of that dividing wall, but it doesn't have to be that way. Jesus has done everything, has fulfilled all things, has come to conquer sin and Satan on your behalf. All that is left is for your obedience and your repentance and your baptism into His blood. Can we help you with that? If we can help you with that or any spiritual need, would you please make it known as we stand and sing?